It is a great privilege for me to be here tonight, to be able to share the Word of God, to be able to speak as well as I can of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might turn, as a matter of theme tonight, to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and then we'll be looking at a passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning to read at verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning to read at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and was confirmed unto us to them by them, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. When I was thinking of that, of my subject tonight, I was thinking of those words, so great salvation, so great salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture also says, God bearing them, that is those early apostles and the early church prophets who had the Word of God very shortly after the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God was bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, confirming the gospel and confirming them in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what I believe the miracles are all about, that we find in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. They were those things that are as true today as in the day in which they were written, speaking forth absolute truth, true in what they said, true historically, true theologically, true scientifically, true in every way. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, please. The book of Acts chapter 3. We're going to look tonight what I consider to be a tremendously positive passage of Scripture. The healing of the lame man in the book of Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. It's interesting we find that ninth hour mentioned in another place in Scripture. And that is that there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And then Jesus cried with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And what happened at that time, as you notice, that is a prayer. Why, Lord? Why me? And immediately the lights came on. It was the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer for the Jewish people. And Peter and John went up at the ninth hour, being the hour of prayer. They were men that saw the need of prayer. You might notice also at this time, there had not been, as it were, a clear break, at least openly, between the Jewish nation and the whole temple system and the church. For they went up to the temple in the afternoon, being the hour of prayer. And there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb, we read in verse 2. He was carried. He was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them and that entered into the king into the temple. Here was a man who was helpless and he was hopeless. He could not do these things for himself. It's incredible to think that all the way from his mother's womb, and we read later on that this man was 40 years old. He had never learned to walk. He had never walked. He was completely helpless from the time that he was a child. And he had no hope once you have lost abilities or not had them. There was no hope of him ever getting better. He was a hopeless man. He was a helpless man from birth. And the Holy Scriptures, when it teaches of our lameness of sin, our iniquity, it teaches that from conception that we are sinners, that we are hopeless and helpless from birth. He was disabled, unable to help himself. Furthermore, he was a beggar. He had to ask for support from the people that went into that place. What an awful situation he was in. He was there to ask alms. The people were to give alms, to give to the poor. This was part of the Jewish religion at that time. And he was there to ask for alms. Taking the place of a beggar, of someone who had nothing and could do nothing. That is the picture of any man, any woman, any child before God. I think of Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham had whereof to boast, but not before God. And that's the way we are. We may be able to boast that we're better than the guy down the road. Sometimes we can mislead ourselves into thinking that we are better than others. But we are all compared to God as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Here was this crippled man at that gate. He had to be laid there. He had to be carried there. What a situation he was in. And in verse 3, we find that he begs. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Give me some silver and gold. I cannot work for myself, for I cannot walk. Give me silver and gold. And the Bible says that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, looking upon this man in his situation, and no doubt he could see, it was obvious. You know, it is obvious once you've been saved, when you look at a lost man, it doesn't matter if he lives in a palace. It doesn't matter if he is the most powerful athlete. It doesn't matter if he's got all the gold and silver in town. You look upon him and you see him as hopeless and helpless and disabled and a beggar. And Peter fastened his eyes on this poor man. Our Lord Jesus Christ looked on the crowds with compassion, pity. Here they are. And what is at the end of the line, no matter what they have? There is hell. You know, I often think as well, even if someone had nothing and yet somehow would avoid the salvation of God, How sad to think of having nothing here, and then to die and go to your own place and be forever in the lake of fire. It would be a terrible end to a terrible life. And the scripture says this in verse 5. That he gave heed to them. You know, it's not everyone that gives heed. This story is in the Word of God for a very definite reason. For here we have an example of a man who gave heed. He heard of the Word of God. He heard of these two men. They said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Expecting to receive something of them. I would say to you tonight that you might look unto me tonight. Not because I am a great preacher. Not because I am somebody that is able to philosophically dazzle you in any way. But because I have something for you. I have something for you. I know I have seen it and found it myself. And I would say to you, look. Will you look expectantly tonight? That this might be a night that is different than any other for you, because you will listen to the Word. We used to make a little joke. I presume this is found somewhere in Shakespeare where I have never read, but it was, "Friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears." And usually there was a bunch of ears thrown across the floor. But you know something? That is exactly it. Lend me your ears tonight. Look upon me, for I have for you tonight a marvelous message. You that are hopeless and helpless, you who know that you do not have eternal life, look unto me. And this man gave heed. And he expected to receive something of them. How could he know how great it could be? How could he know? And Peter said this, "Silver and gold have I none." He was waiting for the silver and the gold. No silver and gold. No guarantee of wealth. No guarantee of health. Oh, what is else is there? Here we are again, and I'm not going to get silver and gold, so therefore it is all useless. But such as I have, give I thee. But such as I have, give I thee. I've got something far better than gold. Yes, my friends, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. And what was Peter able to offer him that day? He was able to offer him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be healed, which speaks, as we look before, of so great salvation. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What authority he spoke with. But it wasn't his own authority. He didn't say, "I've argued you into a corner, and I'll argue you out of the corner, and argue down the hall, and argue outside and into your car." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for salvation is in his name and in his name alone. It says, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. This man had not walked in 40 years. This man had not been able to make a living. He had no strength. But Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ had strength. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they asked Peter in another place, "In whose name have you done this?" Peter answered, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." In His name, there is eternal salvation. In His name, there is power. Power to save. There is power. Power. Wonder-working power. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord Jesus Christ is like no one else. When we look upon Him, there is not another that is His equal. He is preeminent, the one that is high above all else. He is above man, any man. He is above the angels. The Lord Jesus Christ is the all-powerful one. He is the one that can give you salvation. He is the one to whom you must look, even this night. There is nowhere else to look. And it's interesting what takes place. Peter took him by the right hand, apparently his right hand, into the beggar's right hand. And the scripture says he lifted him up. He lifted him up. And the Bible says, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now you could imagine if someone was to do sort of an operation of some kind, and then there would be months of physiotherapy trying to get those muscles that had never moved. Maybe they never would be able to get them into shape to be able to walk. Or maybe it would be that they could go so far and make two or three steps when the emotion of the crowd was there, then fall back into a wheelchair or onto the ground. Well, what happens here when it is the Lord Jesus Christ? Immediately, like that. His feet and his ankles received strength. There was no getting into it, or it was immediate. No, the Lord had brought me under conviction of sin and had sowed the seed of the Word of God and often watered it in my life for 18 years. But one night I remember the place. I could imagine that etched in this man's life would be the beautiful gate. The beautiful gate. That's where I was saved. That's where I was made whole. That is where I came in contact with the power of God. That is where I first walked. That is where I met the Lord. And I think of that place. I don't really know if the building still stands, but I remember that night. What a beautiful place it is. The place where first our hearts grasped in that immediate moment the eternal life that is offered by the Lord, the great salvation. Beautiful indeed. And what a beautiful gate, the way in, the door. He received strength. He received strength. I've often told the story of an older man. He was saved when he was 79. He was known in our community as a man who had never went without drink. He was known as a man who his family had never seen him without a bunch of girly books that he was constantly reading and ogling at. No power to change, no will to change, for that matter. No strength to walk with God. But there was a certain night, so to speak, a certain time, when immediately his life was changed and he cast away all of those things. The scripture said he leaping. Imagine the power. I remember once a story of a man too. Many of these are men that I know, that I've spoken to. One night, he had taken his girlfriend, threw her by the hair, and threw her out a window, or so the legend goes. The next night, they were seated reading the Bible together. Say, that could never happen. In immediacy, it can happen. It can happen when a man comes to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, or a woman. He leaped to his feet. His ankle bones were given strength to stand. He could leap. He could walk. And his tongue was loosed. And he praised God. Walking and leaping and praising God. What a glorious thing it is. The power of God to change lives. If we do not believe that, if we have lost that, may we go back and read the story of the lame man at the beautiful gate. That God is able to change lives. That he is able to change the lives of children and teenagers and adults and even old people. He is able to do these things. And we read in verse 9, all the people saw him. I did not see the man that was thrown through the window. It was told to me by a man who was drinking, who had been a drinking buddy of this man. He saw the difference. Whether he heeded or not, I'm afraid he never did. But he knew the story, and he knew the man to whom it happened. It's a wondrous thing as we might live for the Lord in this world. It is a glorious thing that we had a beautiful gate where the Lord gave us strength, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to stand and to walk for him in this old world. And all the people saw him. They knew, the scripture says, they knew that he was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate. There every morning. They set him there daily. He had his hand out every day. A beggar. Hopeless and helpless. I am sure that this man who told me the story of the brother who at one time had treated so cruelly and had lived so wickedly, he knew. You know, it's pretty hard to deny. You have to be able to just say, oh, no, he's just putting on. If it's so easy to put on, why don't you put your clothes on? for 10 years, live for the Lord, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, living for the Lord, walking with Him. It is not possible for any man who has not been in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ to live for Him. They knew it was He, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto Him. I remember even my own friends when I was newly saved. I thought that my friends would all glom onto what I had. I thought I was the first person in the world to ever have been born again, for one thing. When you're newly saved, there's lots you don't know. But I thought they'd be just there waiting. They're going to grab hold of this. It wasn't like that. But I remember several that said to me at that time, "We can't believe the change. We can't believe the change in your life." And some of them didn't, and some of them did. But here they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto Him. It's a wonderful thing to see a man just go along and along in life where sin, unable to live for God with no praise. Oh yes, we could sing the hymns, but to have no praise in our hearts, no strength to leap, to walk for Him, and then to hear the Word of God. My friends, what I've shared with you tonight is not something that I alone have experienced, even in this room. I know that. I rejoice in that. There is many here that can look back to a beautiful gate. There are many that can look back to someone who said, "Look to me. Look to me. Hear what I have to say tonight. I speak not in my own name. I speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I would say to you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Give heed to my words tonight. "Come unto me," Jesus says. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. You that are without strength, without hope, without God, without Christ. Come unto me, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Repent. Turn from your sins. Turn to God." We say, and perhaps there is, perchance, one here tonight who is as the king of Nineveh was so many years. No, perhaps God. Let us repent. Jonah preached repentance. He said, "Repent." The king who could say, but that God would give his life. The king said to the people, "Repent. Even your animals, clothe them in sackcloth." Picture of repentance. What of you? Did you hear the voice of Jesus calling? We pray that this would be the night when you would hear the word of God, that you would look upon this poor preacher who in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would say to you, come, come to him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this time together tonight in thy word. We see that man in our mind's eye leaping and walking and praising God, who had never walked since his mother's womb, who had never ever went across the floor in the stumbling steps of babyhood, and never ran and played with the other children, who had never briskly walked with his lunch to work. Father, what a difference when Jesus Christ passed by. And what a difference we find in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to hearts tonight and thrill us that are saved. Thrill us, Lord, and remind us, Father, we think of those of an old song. Lord, to my heart, bring back the springtime. Take me back, O Lord, to where I first believed, to the love I had and the zeal I had in early days. Oh, Father, take us back. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.